My name's Roc Jiménez de Cisneros, and I make music with computers. Ever since I started making music, I've been interested in things that are not necessarily connected to music, especially from different areas of science, from mathematics to physics and astronomy, also philosophy. And there are things that interest me in all those areas that play a huge role in the way I make music, or we make music when I make music with other people. So for instance, my interest in areas of philosophy like ontology, you can apply some of these ideas to music, and I like to think of some of these ideas like mereology in musical terms, like how simple waveforms are combined to make up more complex sounds. And I'm quite fascinated by that, not just in a literal sense, but also in a cultural sense, how sounds are more than just waveforms. They carry cultural meaning. And I'm very interested in how certain sounds get to become cultural icons or cliches or important for a specific musical genre. I use some of these sounds very much. Actually, my work for the last 5 years or something is quite focused on extending certain iconic sounds from rave culture. These are sounds that have been practically stuck in their original context. They have been referenced all over again many, many times in countless records, but they're kind of stuck there. What I suggest is what happens when you get these sounds out of context and treat them as something totally different. My point is that they're really interesting on their own, not in their original context. Well, they are, and I like them there, but I think they're really interesting once you take them out of this context and you treat them in a radically new way. So what happens when you take one of these synthesizers and forget about the beats and the cheesy vocal samples and all that, and forget about the intention? It's not about making people dance anymore. It's just about this sound and what can you do with this sound. I don't ever use samples. It's just if I'm using one of these, what I call iconic sounds, I'm actually using either the real synthesizer that was used originally to produce that sound, or building programs in SuperCollider or any other language that will produce a sound that's similar to that. Or, and I don't mean similar as in trying to get as close as possible. Sometimes the idea is actually, can you build something that is actually more flexible and goes in a different direction? But it's never samples from records or anything like that. I was born in Barcelona and I grew up here. So all my creative career, so to speak, has been in Barcelona, or at least based in Barcelona, and then, of course, traveling quite a lot. I am part of this generation of artists who in the mid-90s started working with computers and electronic instruments. We kind of unwillingly bridged the gap somehow between the more academic side of computer music and electroacoustic music and club culture and lots of popular things that were part of our everyday cultural experience. And it's not that, at least for me, it's not that it was a conscious thing or trying to bridge that gap, but it happened. And it happened because at that time, a lot of tools became available to make music. These tools used to be restricted to academia back in the 70s and 80s, and it just so happened that in the mid-90s they became available, and then common people not coming from academia had access to those tools. And that resulted in this little explosion. There was a kind of big scene of experimental musicians that we were using these tools to make music under different parameters, aesthetic parameters and conceptual parameters, different compared to what the academic composers had been doing for a couple of decades, probably with similar, if not the same, tools. As soon as I started making music, I was lucky enough to make really quick contacts with people in Germany and Austria and the UK, mostly these three countries. But then from that, it became like this kind of invisible network of people all across Europe and the States. Then, of course, Japan. There's quite a lot of people there also with a similar story, probably. In my case, this influence from club culture and extreme music, you could call it that. I mean, I've been always interested in metal and grindcore and all these kind of post-metal genres that have been evolving for many years. So I think something happens when you give a kid these tools, but the kid doesn't have the same background as the composers that built these tools. So I would say that's a remarkable thing. That's pretty much my background. I use mainly one programming environment called SuperCollider. I use it either alone or in combination with real hardware synthesizers. But SuperCollider has been my main tool for a long, long time now. I couldn't live without it. Yeah, it's just a programming language and programming environment, and it's similar to things like MaxMSP or Pure Data, but instead of having a graphical layout, it's just text. Since 1996, I've been at the core of this project called EVOL. E-V-O-L. And even though I have worked alone on this project for a long time or for periods of times, I've always thought about it as an open sort of group where other people can come in and work on things. So, for instance, for the past couple of years, it has been a collaboration with this Scottish artist, Stephen Sharp. And together we've been recording stuff and developing and extending what I like to call rave synthesis. It's kind of a silly concept that I came up with some time ago. I usually perform alone, even when I'm working with other people, like, for instance, well, Steven is a bit of a special case because even though we've been working together for a few years now, he totally refuses to play live and to perform, which is something I totally respect. But sometimes it is a group because it involves more people. And sometimes some performances involve the audience. So that's like, that is literally a group because that's a lot of people. On the one hand, I conceive evil as a totally aesthetic experience or sensory experience, devoid of any narrative or history, concept, message, whatever you want to call it. It's just you hear that and then, well, things happen to you maybe, or not. At the same time, the contradiction comes from the fact that in the whole process behind these pieces, in the methodology and the process, there's a lot of concepts and ideas that are so important for me that they end up shaping how this piece develops and how the piece actually sounds.